Gospel and Scripture with Brother Len on Golden Guide.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
People of God, welcome to this program, Golden Guide. The scripture says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death or destruction. From Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. So therefore, we need the Golden Guide.
Mga kaibigan at mga kapatid, magandang umaga na naman sa ating lahat. Nandito na naman ang ating palatuntunang ginintuang gabay sa English Golden Guide at sa aking dayalik na Cebuano Bulawanong Giga. Salamat na naman sa ating butihing Panginoong Diyos, mga kaibigan. No, tayong lahat dito sa New Zealand, salamat sa pag-iingat sa ating butihing Panginoong Diyos. Hindi lang sa atin, pati sa ating mga mahal sa buhay doon sa Pilipinas o kahit sa ang sulok ng mundo. Meron tayong mga mahal sa buhay at salamat. At sa umagang ito, bago tayo magpatuloy, magandang magdasal muna tayo. Huwag ka malimutan pa, mga kaibigan, magdasal tayo. Panginoong Diyos, sa umagang ito, salamat na naman sa banal na Espiritu ang sana namang magbigay ng liwanag sa aming kaisipan upang maintindihan namin ang iyong layunin dito sa aming buhay. Sa umagang ito, Panginoong Diyos, mag-bless ka na naman ni Sister Charmin na magbigay ng mensahe sa aming kapwa Kristiyano, pati sa aming mga kaibigan, kapwa manggagawa. Salamat, Panginoong Diyos, sa iyong tulong. Wala po kaming magagawa kung wala iyong tulong. Pakitulong, Ama. Ito aking dalangin sa pangalan na iyong bugtong nanak na aming tagapagligtas, aming Panginoong Heso Kristo. Amen. Salamat sa umagang ito, mga kaibigan. No, meron tayong mga kaibigan nagdiwang sa kanilang karawan. No, bago tayo magpatuloy, magtugtog muna tayo. Sister Charmaine, if you are watching at this moment, wait for a while. I will play birthday songs for those who are celebrated or those who are who will be celebrating or who are celebrating right now their birthday. Mga kaibigan, itong birthday song sa lahat na nagdiwang sa inyong karawan, no? Meron tayong ilan lang mapangalanan, pero hindi lahat, pero sa inyo itong lahat, mga kaibigan. Unahin ko muna, belated happy birthday, Brother Rachel. More birthdays to celebrate with good health. God bless you and all your loved ones together with Sister Alin. God bless you all. At Agaw Ima Dayula, belated happy birthday, M. God bless you with your beloved son, Paris. At ang aking mga aking mahal na anak na lalaki, si Dong Alpe, belated happy birthday, Dong. More birthdays to celebrate with good health. God bless you. And with Inday Me, diyan sa Hong Kong, salamat. Ingat, God bless. At sa lahat ng nagdiwang sa inyong karawan, sa inyo to lahat, mga kaibigan, no? Hindi lang natin mapangalanan. Happy birthday pa rin kay Ma'am Gloria Belen. Sa inyo tong lahat, belated happy birthday. O advance happy birthday kapag umaga, sunod na mga araw, sunod na linggo, no? Advance happy birthday. Kapag nagmerong mang nagdiwang sa araw na ito, sa inyo to, happy birthday sa iyo. At sa lahat ng nagdiwang sa inyong karawan at yung mga belated. Belated, happy birthday, Brad Rasel, Gawima, Dong Alpe, dyan sa Hong Kong. Itugtog muna natin, pakinggan muna natin mga kaibigan. Happy birthday, mahal kay Ma'am Gloria Bilin. Ito na. Amen. Napakinggan natin ang ating gospel song, mga kaibigan. At isunod natin ang ating gospel song. No? Ang ating gospel song, ang title, Born Again, kay Ma'am Ebe Tonekes. Maganda to, mga kaibigan. No, pakinggan muna natin to.
Say I'm not change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again.
Salamat sa Panginoong Diyos. Napakinggan natin ang ating gospel song, Born Again, kay Ma'am Ivy Tornikes. So, salamat sa Panginoong Diyos, mga kaibigan. At ang ating mensahero ngayon, si Sister Charmaine. Okay. Sister Charmaine, good morning in Australia, there in Australia.
Morning, Brother Len.
Welcome back. So don't forget, every second Sunday of the month, this is your schedule to spread the good news. You are now in Australia, so thanks be to God the technology that you can able to share the words of God abundance in your heart. So the time is yours, so the microphone is yours. Okay, you can proceed, Sister Charmin.
Thank you, Brother Lin. Magandang umaga, brothers and sisters.
Thanks be to God, you have now Tagalog. Good morning.
Morning. Nice to be back sharing God's message with you as we learn more about Jesus together. Before I continue, let us pray. Father God, thank you for another opportunity that we can learn more about you, who you are, and help us to obey you and be more faithful to you and show us how to live a life worthy of you. Jesus, as we're going to learn more about you, will you open our hearts, our ears, and our mouth to make your message clear each today. Thank you. A blessing upon each one of us. Amen.
Amen.
Today we're going to read from Deuteronomy 1, verses 19 to 25. And I'm also going to read sections from Numbers 13 and 14, and I'm using the NIV translation. My theme today is God, rebellious people. So Deuteronomy 1, verses 19 to 25 reads, then, as the Lord our God commanded us, we set out from Horeb and went towards the hill country of the Amorites through all that vast and dreadful wilderness that you have seen. So we reached Kadesh Barnea. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See? The Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord the God of your ancestors taught you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. This is a pivotal point for the Israelites after years in Egypt and wandering in the wilderness. God guided the Israelites out of Egypt by that day. By day with a pillar of cloud and by night with a pillar of fire as they journeyed through the wilderness. After the Israelites stayed at Horeb, the mountain of Sinai, God instructed them to move on. They made the difficult journey through the wilderness and reached Kadesh Barnea, a large oasis with abundant springs and pastures. God brought them to the hill, where they stood on the border looking at the promised land. It has been over a year since the Israelites left Egypt and were on the verge of entering the promised land under Moses' leadership. They could enter Canaan through faith, courage, and obedience, knowing God would protect them. They've experienced God's protection on their journey up to now. But instead, fear and doubt must have entered their heart. leading them to ask Moses to send spies into Canaan to investigate the land. We read in verse 22. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. At this point, Moses himself should have trusted God enough to disregard their plan to send spies into Canaan. God already told Moses through the burning bush in Exodus 3, verses 17, that they will live in the land of milk and honey. He confirms that again in Exodus 23, that he's sending an angel ahead of them to guard and prepare the way for them to, as well as in Canaan. Instead of trusting God and his promise, they did not believe the Lord and wanted to see what awaited them, including the people in Canaan. They actually were questioning God, and they wanted to see. As humans can be, we don't always trust. We want to see for ourselves. Therefore, Moses thought this was a brilliant plan and selected 12 men from each tribe to serve as spies. I want to make it clear, this plan to send the spies into the promised land was not God's plan. When you read Numbers 13, verses 2, you get the idea that God instructed Moses to send the spies into Canaan and not the Israelites. However, Numbers 13:2 deals mainly with a number of spies and how they should be chosen. One person from each tribe, whereas Deuteronomy tells us this plan was suggested by the Israelites, approved by Moses, and structured by God. After 40 days, the 12 spies returned with a cluster. Apparently, it was a big cluster of grapes, pomegranate, and fig, as proof of how good the land of Canaan was. We read in Numbers 13:26-27. They came back to Moses and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. He went into the land to which he sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. 12 men agreed that the fruit land were good, just as God said it would be. But then things were reported that, but the people are living are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak. People are living all over the Gil country in the sea in Numbers 13:28, even to 29. Instead of looking to God, his provision, his protection and guidance, the same spies looked at the size of the building and saw the people as warriors they couldn't defeat. And that caused fear among the Israelites. Whereas the other two spies, Caleb and Joshua, went against the ten spies, encouraging the Israelites to disregard what they said, or how fortified the cities were and how large the people were. Trust God so they can take the land. And they can do that with God's help, if God's always been with them and will be with them. Caleb and Joshua understood that with trust and faith in God, they could easily conquer the land. The irony of the 12 spies is that they all 12 saw the same thing, yet only two were brave and referred to God. Whereas the other 10 or the 10 spies looked at the land with fear and never mentioned God. Instead of being faithful to God, putting their trust in him, and pray for his protection, they listen to these spies, to their negative feedback, which caused them to lose heart and become rebellious against God. They raised their voices and complained against Moses and Aaron that they should have died in Egypt. They were whining, or they should have died in the wilderness. They questioned why God brought them to a land where they knew they were going to, where God knew they were going to get killed and their wives and children will be taken away. They looked at all the negative instead of all the positive. Instead of looking at God, what God has already done for them, guiding and protecting them against the nations on their journey, they've lost their faith and trust in God in the blink of an eye. God promised victory, which means the land was already theirs to take. All they had to do was to trust God, but they did not, and rebelled against God. At the end, unbelief spread through the camp like wildfire, and the Israelites refused to go into the promised land God had promised them. And as a result, God's anger rose against them as an unfaithful generation, declaring they would not enter the promised land apart from Caleb and Joshua, who believed in God, and then their children will be the next generation to enter Canaan as God's faithful people under Joshua's leadership. We actually read that in Numbers 14, verses 30 to 35. Not one of you will enter the land I swore up with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I would bring them into and enjoy the land you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. Your children will be shepherded here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sin and know that it's like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community, which has banded together against me. They will meet their end in this wilderness. They will die. Even the 10 spies who were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. All the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, survived. That's in Numbers 14, verses 37 to 38. So that brings me to the next point. What can we learn from this biblical story? Firstly, to trust God and in His promises. God makes a promise and He keeps it. And this is evident in Genesis 12, where God instructed Abram to leave his country and move to Canaan in about 2091 BC, before Christ. In Canaan, God made the Abrahamic covenant with Abram, and God said, "Your descendants, I give this land," in Genesis 15:18. However, God also said to Abram, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, enslaved and mistreated them." That's in Genesis 15:13. "But I will deliver them from this nation, which we know were the Egyptians." Again, God confirmed to Isaac and Jacob that He will give him the promised land. A famine caused Israel to move to Egypt, where they became a great nation. And in 1446 BC, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt under God's protection and guidance through the wilderness. In 1444 BC, Moses sent the spies out and the negative threats that caused the Israelites to rebel against God. 40 years later, under Joshua's leadership in 1406 BC, the next faithful generation entered Canaan. The point is that God keeps his promises, even if it took about 685 years from the time God made a promise to Abraham until the Israelites as a nation entered the promised land. God created each one of us for a purpose, for his purpose. We do not always know what it is. Therefore, whatever we do and whatever decisions we make, we must take them to God in prayer before we jump into action. And the reason for praying about them is to ask God wherever they are aligning with His will. And we invite Jesus to guide us, Lord, rather than us ruling our own life. Secondly, fear and unbelief distort our perspective. The problem with fear and unbelief is that they don't just affect our feelings, they also reshape how we see and interpret situations and walk with things. I remember years, and I'm going to give you an example of years, but I remember years ago when I worked in the corporate world, whenever my manager used to call me to say to me she wants to see me, I don't know why, but the first thing that goes through your mind is, what have I done? As I walk over to her office, your brain is working overtime to think, why does she want to see me? What have I done? And at the end, she called me in to confirm something. See, they must have realized we first think the worst, and then it turns out to be nothing. And that is what I'm going to say is, the negativity can influence you to think negative where it's not. Even as I step out in my ministry, I'm sometimes nervous and fearful. Not because I lack competence, but because I'm afraid I would fail, which is wrong. And writing this message, which I believe was totally for me, I realize how foolish I am because my fearfulness is rooted in unbelief. And it stops me from faithfully responding to my vocation. Contrast, God equipped me for his calling, just as he equipped Moses to lead the Israelites. All God is asking me is to step out and trust him to lead me in what he wants me to do. Thirdly, fear is contagious. The negative feedback from 10 spies led to the nation's rebellion against God, and they could not enter the promised land. It meant the Israelites had to journey in the wilderness for an additional 40 years. The lesson here is that you and I must be careful about how our negative words can influence those around us, especially new believers or new converts and any person on their faithful journey.
And thanks for listening.